Yeah, 6 minutes past five. Support supporters. Any queries, you can ring now. 822-3000. Seats for this weekend, ticketing for this weekend, pre-game entertainment, the sub, who's the starting 18? Because we have club CEO Keith Thomas in the studio and Ports membership manager Matthew Richardson. Men, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Rowie.
Start here. Tickets for the weekend. Still 3,000 left.
It's about 3,000 left, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more. But demand's been really good, they will go. But I reckon there's this view, because membership has been going so well, that all of the games are going to be sold out. Well, that's not the case, So you can still buy, go to Ticketek, get a ticket. Get a great seat, enjoy the game. It's going to be a big, big night.
Let's start here, because Rooch wrote an article in the paper. We've had a lot of query and innuendo and talk, so we've got the two men here that can just explain it. 58,500 members, 33,000 of them, 11-game members, leaves 25,500 members of that number. You've set aside 10,000 for walk-ups for game day. Explain that model, if you like.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to talk model. And Richo, if we get into trouble, Rowie, if we get
Richo, you come off the top turnbuckle, yeah. And we're blessed to have you in here.
Okay, look, okay. This is a model that's been developed on the advice of the AFL and other sporting organisations, stadia around the world. We had the great advantage of coming into a new environment with a low membership base, pretty much. And so we had the flexibility to actually think about it and look at it. And one of the pieces of advice they gave us was, if you have a look at the West Coast Eagles, they had virtually a generation of supporters who weren't able to go to games because they had sold all of their memberships as reserve seat tickets, and it was locked down almost for 15 years.
And I think you can put Adelaide in that.
Adelaide was at a similar era, yeah. and has been high capacity for a long time. And so now there's a lot of good about that sort of a model. And the good is you've got a relationship with your member. We love that. We love that relationship. It's money in the bank. It's and you know where you are.
Mm.
But it does create a stagnant sort of opportunity for people who can't get in to that stadium and maybe over time train them into the idea that, well, I can't engage.
So you've got facts and figures and research to
set
that up.
Yes, we absolutely have. So what we try to do, and Richo's the architect of this, is to say, all right, can we hold aside tickets each week, and we do it, and it's between 8,000 and 10,000 a week, and it varies. We've got levers, and we move around a little bit. For those people who are a bit more casual, who are trialing the game, can't get there every week, but want to go, or really like the idea of this particular game, with the idea being that over the years, maybe you're keeping another type of consumer, person, fan of the game, involved where they wouldn't normally be. Now, the trade-off is that you have to cap your, when we've got demand as we've currently got it, you've got to cap the amount of
11-game memberships.
This year
it's 33,000.
Yeah, well it's actually, it's thereabouts.
Richo, how many?
Yeah, it's actually, the key thing, the cap is actually on the number of reserve seats. So in terms of the way we have it, effectively we've got 24,000 reserve seat members. Then on top of that, you've got 6,000 general admission members. So they have access to the games, but not a reserve seat specifically, which then gives you, in the Western Stand, we've got another 6,000 11-game members plus the 8,000 SMA members.
Yep.
So that actually gives us 44,000 members who have access to 11 games. But the critical bit is the number who have a reserve seat. And that's where we put a cap on that, so that then that leaves us about 9,500 seats every week that our three game members, country members, so those members that don't obviously come every game, plus then the people that are able then to buy tickets through Ticketek and come and experience our games.
So if you could get 44,000 11 game memberships, a la the Crows, with a waiting list on that, you wouldn't have it. You'd still have this model.
Well, saying is
we've got now.
You've pretty much got that.
We've got 44,000. What we haven't got is 44,000 with a reserve seat.
Okay.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
Yes, and so that creates just a little bit more flexibility,
yep.
in because there are the no-shows that every week we know that there is a percentage of people that don't turn up and whatever.
Weather, holidays, weddings.
Exactly.
Fishing. Exactly.
So it's just a slightly more dynamic model for us to work around. And Richo and his team think about this every day. Where are they coming? What's demand like? And we adjust things as we go along. And it just gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Okay, so the only real danger is you play GWS on a Sunday twilight game and it's going to rain, and we know it's going to rain all week.
That's
10,000 tickets not sold, that hurts. Now, of those 10,000 tickets, are they at a premium price, those walk-ups?
No, they're your general admission, so
general
people
admission,
have got a choice. General admission, $35 at the gate. That's
okay.
Right.
Fantastic.
Mm. So I'm just go over that again. So if you've got 6,000 of your season ticket holders are general admission, of the 10, is there some reserve seating amongst that 10? There's not.
No. So okay. Basically, effectively what we do in the, forget the Western Stand,
yep.
in the Northern Stand, the North, the East and the South, there are 34,000 seats. Of that, 24,000 are allocated to reserve seat members, which leaves 10,000. Into that 10,000, they're non-reserve. So basically our general admission members and people that buy a general admission ticket, all we say to them is, look, get to the ground early and you will have a great choice of seats. There are 10,000 to choose from.
Spot
hence,
on.
When you get to the game, an hour and a half before the game, you look up the top of the stand and you wonder why all those people are sitting up the top. That's because they've got there early and they've got their seats.
Well, 50,000 and 87, the Sydney game round 20 last year. You'll beat that this year. Ticket sales are fantastic. You can ring Ticketek to do that. Yeah. Pre-game entertainment.
Okay.
Talk to me, KT.
Right.
I saw an F-118 arrive. Oh, yeah. You're going to have the choppers, the roulettes, you're going to have people jumping out.
Ken's going to parachute.
You're going to shoot up pyrotechnics. Come on, KT. You're hiding a secret from us.
No, look, here's the philosophy, right? Here's what we're thinking. You've got to have fun. And we think we created that last year.
Absolutely.
Right? There was a really good feel about the oval. We're going to
fun
do that again.
Atmosphere.
A lot of ambience, a lot of music, a lot of it was up. You've got to honour the rituals. Now, we think that the march, the team entry and Never Tear Us Apart.
They're your three rituals.
Major rituals. People just own, our people own that now. They love it. They're involved in it. They own it.
And all three of them were organic. That grew.
That just grew. Yeah, we put them in place and said, okay, well, let's give it a month and see what happens.
Boom.
And everyone embraced it. So all we've done there is we've improved each one slightly, right?
Okay, let's start with the march. How have you improved that?
Well, we've got live. At the mall, the event at the mall will be bigger. So we got At Sunset. It was an emerging young band.
Port supporters. We heard they are special.
Apparently.
Well, apparently.
I haven't heard.
Whether either special or they're not, you're not going to get duds out there.
They're ambassadors. They're special.
They're special. Done.
Yeah. So they're going to be very big. And there will be more to do in the mall.
Okay.
So we'll pick it up there. We roll everyone to the ground.
Over the Torrens.
Terrific.
Great view.
Into
yep.
that. When you arrive at the Southern Plaza, there will be a new addition. There is what we call a game day village. Now, that'll be in the Memorial Drive tennis courts.
Yep.
Right next
door. You had that last year. You had a bar there.
I had a bar. That's now a village. We're going big, right? And so there'll be...
Do you need an idiot? I know someone.
The opportunity
were you pointing at me? KT rolled his eyes at you.
No, 2,000 people. 2,000 people. Now, this is... There's a strategic purpose to all this. One, we think it'll be a great place to meet
Brilliant.
Friends.
Yeah.
But think the Test cricket and out the back, right? Think the Australian Open tennis. You go over there. And people are in there, and the event becomes part of their overall day out, night out.
To the Australian Open,
the races,
just to go to the village. I didn't even see a game. I go to the Test match and stay at the back.
Oh, no.
Now I'm hearing you, KT.
That's what
I could come to your game and just stay in the village.
There's this group of
I
people
like
in that 20 to 40 bracket who disappear from the game a little bit. They've got other things to do, and it's much more about the social aspect of the game. That'll be available to them, and they'll have great food. There'll be
big screen videos.
Well, there'll be opportunities to get entertainment There's entertainment inside in the village. Great spot to be. So you come off the south, you know, into the southern plaza. There'll be a lot of activity in the plaza and this village.
What's it called? The Port Village? The
Game Day Village.
Game Day Village.
Now, there's another group that we're picking off this year, and it's the same age group, but those with young families. Now, again, think about your young mum and dad who have got a 3 or 4 or 5 year old kid.
Bitch, you're looking at one.
3 and 5.
Yep, 3 hours is hard, isn't it?
Very hard.
So what we're going to do on the Eastern Plaza, we've got the power playground going. So it's a big playground and there'll be lots of things to do. Our Pirateers zone is going to be in there. They'll go in there, they'll be having stories, and Jack and Daisy will be in there, and there'll be actors, and there'll be things to do.
Can you just leave them there and go watch the footage?
So then you go in, there'll be breakout zone as well. So you'll be able to, if you're halfway through the first quarter, things are getting tough, you can actually sneak out into the breakout zone, you can watch the footy, you can have a cup of coffee, and the kids can play with Jack and Daisy and the Pirateers.
So
again, we're just trying to build for the future and think, what are these young families? They can't go to the footy unless you make it easier for them. So that's on. When you get into the game, the pre-match is going to be as energetic as it was last year. As I said, the team entry, Never Tear Us Apart, are going to be better than they were last year, just better. And one of the things that we're talking about, and this is where we don't give it all away, but I reckon one of the great things about last year was everyone came to the game and got a bit of a surprise. That something happened that, because it was all new, there was a bit of a wow factor. Oh, wow, have a look at that. The challenge for our team, and I've put this to them, is every week I want something to happen that is a wow factor. It's a surprise. And we think we've got that.
What could that look like?
It could look like anything.
Is it a band?
it could be a band. It could be...
Because I remember at our AFL season launch, we spoke to you, and you said specifically, don't try too hard.
Exactly.
Were your parting words.
Yeah. I think we will see, and I don't want to bag anyone. I'm not bagging anyone. I think we'll see clubs try things that won't work because they're overstretching.
A hovercraft with a big chin.
Yeah, the Brisbane idea with the line, all that sort of stuff.
Too hard.
Hard.
Try hard.
What we try and do is capture the natural moments. There's a lot of energy in crowds anyway. Mm. Team entry is a natural moment. Everyone's up. You know, the countdown to the final, the first bounce, is a moment. All we really did was to say, okay, in that moment, we're going to try and maximise it and engage everyone. And that's what we did. So we'll be looking for opportunities to do that every week.
So you're not going to give us a little tease?
Nothing.
You're not going to give us anything, KT?
Zero.
Richo, you will.
Yeah, just be there early. You're not going to miss it, Rowie.
You're going to get, this is what you're giving us.
0 point.
Exactly,
zero.
KT. So it's going to be exciting. The
it's going to be huge.
If you're on board,
yes,
come to all the games because it's going to be exciting.
Make no mistake. We haven't left anything in the tin.
Okay. Can we move on to this? Because I know it's a passionate topic
just
of yours.
One more. Worth mentioning. 58,451, the number. That must warm your heart. Getting close to 60.
Richo is our guy, and his team have done a wonderful job. And, we think that 60,000 is absolutely achievable this year. And, we're
almost there.
We're thrilled with the engagement of our people, our team.
KT, I know you're passionate about this, and your club, and your coach, Ken Hinckley, on our show down at Alberton, was very, very strong with zero tolerance with illicit drugs. Yep. All day we've been talking about it. Let's have a listen to Ken again, and we'll come back with your grab.
No, I just think that we should say no, full stop, to illicit drugs in sport, and if you want to clean it up, you get harder. I want our football club to be clean, and I want us, you know what, I want us to own up to the fact that we have an opportunity to influence a lot of people. Young people in life. Let's say that Port Adelaide Football Club won't have illicit drugs in their environment.
That was strong. It was powerful. It blew us away. Zero tolerance. The first AFL coach we've heard say that, and you have the same stance.
You know, what is fantastic is when he was saying that, it was at our family day in February, no one else was talking illicit drugs. It was the AFL position was, we've got a good system, leave it as it is.
Welfare system, three-strike policy,
three strikes,
illicit drug.
We've been saying, as other clubs have been saying, it's not right. There's a bigger problem here in society and in football. We need to get proactive with this and make a stand. Now, what is fantastic is I'm seeing heaps and heaps of people now out talking about it, and it says to me that there's going to be a review. I don't subscribe to the fact that, or to the view that AFL players should not be held to a higher standard. I think absolutely they should be. And if you can't hold an elite athlete where his good health is of paramount importance to his profession and his well-being, and is educated and supported and is aware of all the trappings, if we can't say drugs are a no-go, who can? Who can in society? I think it's a huge issue in society. It's being underplayed, and AFL clubs, as they have in so many other social issues, should take the lead on this, and certainly Port Adelaide will be right in that conversation.
I understand that as an aspirational statement where we take the lead, but there was a number that came out that said that 15 of the 18 clubs have had got one person with at least one strike in there. So that's an enormous number. So under your system, if you found out somehow and they said, well, now all the people that have got strikes, we've changed the policy, we're going to make it known. If there's someone who's got a strike at your club, you're saying that you don't want them at your club.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm saying that I want to know if we've got a drug problem.
Hmm.
I want to know if one of my players has an issue.
And right now you don't know
and
that.
I don't know that.
Well, I agree,
if we have that visibility, I want to get him into the help that he requires straight away. I don't want to be guessing.
Yes,
I want to know. Now, at the moment, we can't do that,
mm-hmm.
and with any great certainty. So, what I want us to say, as an industry, is there's no room for drugs, illicit drugs, in AFL football, and nor should there be in society. Now, it sounds aspirational, as you said, but Bix, but if we can't say it, it's not right, who can? We should be.
Yeah, we're not winning the battle, and we've probably just woken up to it, and I know you've been at the forefront with it. I ask you this, KT, as the leader of your club, with Ken Hinckley's backing and your executive team, Richo's one of them there, can you be an industry leader and have your own illicit drug policy? Have you gone down the path to the AFL and tried to have that yourself?
Yeah, so right now what I'm finding is that it's difficult. There are a lot of stakeholders and we can't, as a club, do what we want to do. We have to wait.
Hitting brick walls.
Yeah, we have to wait until the industry catches up. Now, you had a caller on earlier called Darren, and he challenged us and said, well, why is it just the players? What about all staff? I absolutely agree with him. And as an AFL club, we want to take a lead in that. If we were to introduce this, we will introduce it staff-wide, board-wide, executive-wide, because if you're representing Port Adelaide, you're Port Adelaide. And if we're against drugs, we're against drugs. And so that is the position we want to take, and we are champing at the bit to get into that conversation with the powers that be.
Wow, that's strong, Bix.
Well, it is, and that's fantastic. But I guess, first time I've heard it, but there is cost involved. You know, how many people work for the Port Adelaide Football Club?
Yeah, no, there's a massive cost, 120.
Yeah, and I guess you would have to fund that in terms of how often do you do it. Now, the reality is the people that are at the highest risk are probably the people between 18 and 30, and they're our players. And look, I understand from where you're coming from, and I think it's fantastic that you are so strong. But the numbers tell me there are going to be some people who do it. We just know there are going to be some people, because of the proliferation of it in our society, that somehow some bad decision, stupidity, whatever it is, someone will take it. And I just think it's really important, and you mentioned it as well. Your players are your most important asset.
Yeah.
And I think I got mixed up when I interpreted zero tolerance as you take it, see you later, out the door, don't want to see you again. That's certainly not the case from what you've just said.
I don't think you can do that because kids do make mistakes.
That's right.
I want visibility.
Yep.
I want to know that they are being looked after if there's a problem. And if there's willful breaching of this rule, I want to know that as well. And, you know, I think because that's when you get into real cultural issues. I don't think any of that exists with us, but I don't know. But it's the statement, it's the symbolism of the statement that we're making as an organisation in a privileged environment. Drugs are no good, and we don't want them as part of our club.
Well said. Port take on Sydney Saturday night. There's still tickets available. Try and rock up and get them at the gate. I'd say book them now. It's going to be sold out. It will be a record crowd and a cracking game. Thanks for both coming in. Richo, sorry, mate. A little bit of a church mouse out there. A little bit of a shag on a rock, but magnificent you came in off the top turnbuckle.
Yeah, Batman and Robin.
KT, brilliant for that. Now, look, just before we let you go, we were hoping to get a bit more information out of you with this pre-game entertainment. And whenever we got Buff on, we played this game with him. So we would pick the 11, and he just grunted if we were close. Or we ticked if it was, okay? So can we just the same? I just want to
You're
try
on your
and
own
guess
here, Stephen, by the way.
What the pre-game entertainment is. Is it the Hilltop Hoods performing? Okay. Is it Anna Mears riding her bike around the perimeter of the ground, flat out? Okay. Hugh Sheridan.
I don't know whether Hugh's coming, actually.
Oh. Is it Koshy singing the national anthem? Am I getting warm?
He'd want to.
Is it a chopper? No. KT, as always, thanks, mate. And
thank you, guys.
We had a hell of a ride with you guys last year. Let's hope 2015's exactly the same. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.